Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. I put my feelings on safety, so I don't go shooting where your heart be. Cause you take the bullet trying to save me, then I'm left to deal with making you bleed. And that's a whole lot of love, ain't trying to waste it. Like we be running them out and never make it. That's just too bitter for words, don't wanna taste it. That's just too bitter for words, don't wanna face it. But I think that I'm done tripping, I'm tripping. I've been tripping, that's how I control this feeling you keep giving. You keep on hitting it, ooh, oh. Maybe it's your love, it's too good to be true. Baby boy, your love got me tripping on you. You know your love is big enough. Big enough, got me trippin' on you. Trippin' on you. My bad for trippin' on you.
Trippin' on you.
My bad for trippin' on you.
Trippin' on you.
You know I'm cool when I ain't waiting, but I act a fool when I don't get it. And I'm steady bruising just to save this, but I tripped on your love, now I'm addicted.
And that's all I love, ain't tryna waste it. Like we be running them out and never make it. That's just too bitter for words, don't wanna taste it. That's just too bitter for words, don't wanna face it.
But I think that I'm done tripping, I'm tripping. I've been tripping, that's how I control this feeling you keep giving. You keep on hitting it, ooh, oh.
Maybe it's your love, it's too good to be true. Baby boy, your love got me tripping on you. You know your love is big enough. Big enough, got me trippin' on you. Trippin' on you.
My bad for trippin' on you.
Trippin' on you.
My bad for trippin' on you.
Trippin' on you.
Trippin'
on you. That's some kind of love, baby. Trip, trip. That's the type of love, baby.
Trip, trip, trippin' on you.
It's big enough, baby.
Trip, trip.
It's big enough, got me.
Trip, trip, trippin' on you.
I'm done trippin', I'm trip, trip. I've been sipping, that's how I control this feeling you keep giving. You keep on hitting it, ooh, oh.
Maybe it's your love, it's too good to be true. Baby boy, your love got me tripping on you. You know your love is big enough, made me trip on you. Yeah, it's big enough, got me tripping on you. Tripping on you.
My bad boy.
Two, one, two.
Hey, welcome. Welcome, everybody. UpNet Online Radio, Shoebox Talk presents. We talking about, what's today, January 29th, 2020. Yeah. King Bryant. King Kobe Bryant. I know we rearranged some stuff. Some shows, the agenda to make sure we fit this in and spend this hour reflecting on Kobe Bryant and his memory and his legacy. I don't know. I can only speak for myself. I see both on social media and just on the news. Period. Just the different shows that I've seen people talking about celebrities and stuff like that. That it's really a sad day. From Sunday until now, I haven't been able to shake this this feeling, and it reminds me of when Aaliyah passed away. I was much, much younger, but I wasn't able to shake it. It just, stuff like that, like this, stupid stuff, you know, for lack of a better term, is just senseless stupidness for something like this to happen. And there's a feeling of just helplessness. This is like nothing you can do. It's just, it just makes no sense, like, to try to wrap your mind around this dude dying the way he did and his child. So on behalf of HubNet Online Radio and all of my folks here, we want to definitely send out our condolences to the Bryant family, and not just the wife and the girls, but also his parents and his sisters and everybody, you know, that was connected to the Bryant family.
Yeah.
Anyway, how are you guys? How are you guys doing?
I'm all right considering it. Still haven't hit me. I still haven't come to grips that he's gone. Because I just keep waiting just to see him come into the arena to see the Lakers play.
Right.
And when I saw his jerseys, and I'm just saying, I just hope he just come through them tunnels just one more time.
Right, right.
And it's not happening.
Right.
And
it's unreal. It's surreal, right? It's just like,
I'll tell you, can I tell you the way I found out?
How'd you find out?
Sunday, I was home from church, and, well, my mom, people came over after church to talk about what's going on at the worship service. Anyway, I get on my Facebook page, I think around 2-something in the afternoon, see what's going on social media. And I get an inbox. First of all, I check my inbox, said TMZ had a report that Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter crash. I didn't think none of it was a friend that inboxed me that, but when I checked my news feed, another one of my Facebook friends said, I hope it's not true about Kobe.
Right. Right.
And I said, no, I thought it was a hoax. And I put on ESPN, ESPN2, NBA TV, see it was true. If not till maybe 10, 15 minutes later when I heard CBS made an announcement that Kobe Bryant died a plane crash, and not plane, helicopter crash, and my just heart just sank. I just said, oh my God. I told my grandma, then she watched it, and my rest of my day just like it was over.
Right.
I didn't want, and then when I heard the rest of the news, somebody else in my inbox said his daughter was also on the helicopter. I said, oh, my God.
Right, right.
And I just honestly cried because I haven't felt this bad since Michael Jackson passed.
I was just reflecting on that. Like, I brought it back to Aaliyah, but this is a different kind of thing right here. This right here is very painful. Like, you know, one of the people said in the group, damn, I feel like I knew this dude and didn't know him from, you know, didn't know him, but I just feel so bad. And I said, that is just the best way you can, I can't think of no other way to put it. You just feel, I don't know why. It's just, I don't know why.
Just felt like that is beyond hurt. And I text my friend up in Maryland, my Facebook friend, Kimberly, and she didn't believe, and she was busy, and I texted her that she didn't believe, and I talked to her, she was in shock.
Through social media, a lot of people was denying it. And so when I was in the parking lot leaving from church, and I'm talking on the phone through my truck to my nephew about my sister and some serious situations is going on, And then as my nephew's talking to me, my inbox is blowing up. So I'm like, okay, so my phone is beeping, but I'm driving. So something just told me, as soon as I picked up my phone and looked at it, was getting ready to go into my inbox, my nephew said, "Oh my God, Auntie, oh my God." He had clicked over and came back and said, "Kobe Bryant is dead." I said, "What?" Then I looked in my inbox and I seen all these, I got CNN, I got a bunch of news channels, but I got a bunch of people that inbox me, check your news feed or check your check on this story or whatever, and it was a picture of Kobe Bryant. So at the same time, it was all simultaneously, and then I went, because I go to CNN to get the business, and as soon as I went to CNN, they was already talking about it. And that's when I had to pull over to the side of the road because my hand, I started shaking a little bit. Like, it just hit me, like, oh, my God, you know. And then I started getting some other inboxes about Fox being in there, and it was just a lot coming. And then I looked at TMZ, and that's when I got the business. So, anyway, Hakim, how you doing?
He's from
I did not know Kobe Bryant was from Philly.
Yes, he's from Philly.
Yeah. He's from Philly. Went to a competitive high school, Lord Marion, which is not the Burbs, but we call it. It's the Burbs. We wouldn't call it the Burbs. Some people may call it the Burbs, but he's well known around these parts. I think 24 hours after his passing, I think the city, made sure the lights on the Ben Franklin Bridge that takes you from Philly to Jersey, it was highlighted in yellow and purple in his honor, and some of our buildings in Center City was yellow and purple. So, of course, you know, the Sixers, and we saw a lot of the local celebrities, they all felt some type of way. And, you know, it's a sad story. And I think you hit the nail right on the head, because I've been saying it for a couple of days now. This is an Aaliyah-type loss. An aircraft that was in questionable situations, the overloading, the fuel, the this, the that, and all the different little things. They shouldn't have flew. They shouldn't have did this. And of course, there's going to be people who are going to harp on those things.
I was telling somebody today, not to cut you off, if it had just been one thing different, just a running late, not canceling the trip because you hit your toe. I don't know, just one thing different, that this may not even have happened, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I hate to say it, but I wish the pastor was on, but sometimes this thing ain't just in our control.
Yeah.
And it might not even been in his control. Sometimes we have to understand that some things happen because it was meant to happen.
That's the only way I'm able to deal with
bad
it.
Bad as it seems.
Right, yeah. Right. That you know what? And the way I started dealing with death when my brother passed away, that 36 years was all he was supposed to be here for. We don't never know. None of us know how long we're gonna be here for, and don't have a clue as to how we're gonna leave this world. But for me to be able to deal with death, I have to lean on my faith and the fact that Kobe Bryant and Leah, that age, 41, that was it. As bad as he, and to go that way, though, you know what I said to myself last night? I said, man, I bet Kobe, I wonder what his last thoughts was. Man, I hope he grabbed his child or whoever and just started praying. And the split, because according to the report from the officers there, they said after they hit the hill, it descended very quickly. So, you know, I just thinking, this is it. We about to die.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
somebody started praying. You know,
well,
I could just imagine what his last thoughts is. He probably looked at his child and was like, oh, my God. You know.
Yeah.
You know, let me interject with this. I think I've written a Facebook post the day after he passed, and I thought about it. And I put it like this, and I just said, God had, like, two roster spots available for his team in heaven. And he needed Kobe and his daughter to be on his team.
Wow.
And probably, and, have his, and they probably had their – I inboxed it, but anyway, had their uniforms on and say, come on up. We had a couple roster spots available for you to play some basketball up here.
Mm. Never
that
know.
Was my,
but, never know.
And I watched the NBA on TNT, which I'm before I say that I'm a sports fan, but God is first for me. I thought they were going to postpone the rest of the NBA games from yesterday afternoon until maybe
yeah,
today.
Yeah, because the Spurs was playing and they didn't even. They, wasn't
they didn't
playing.
Probably didn't
no,
want to play.
They gave the game away. I don't even think they hit double. Did they hit double digits on the score? It was just it was they was just sick here in San Antonio. Folks in the arena crying and stuff. It was horrible.
And the thing was
people getting
that,
up, leaving out. Yeah.
I like the way how both teams did the 24-second violations or the 8-second half backcourt violation and tribute. But the thing that kind of got me, well, I was watching the NBA on TNT last night. And I did record it with Shaq. That was
yep,
the first
I got
player
it
I,
right here.
I felt for him. I really,
yeah.
really did.
He said, I quote, I haven't felt a pain that sharp in a while. It definitely changes me on my loss
yeah.
for my brother Kobe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He broke me down. I was doing all right. And then when I seen his interview, something told me, I watched it. I said, oh, no. He said he's going to throw a Super Bowl party, and the proceeds is going to go to the families of all the families that was lost.
Yeah.
And I know that we talk about Kobe because we know Kobe. We feel like we know him. We know, seen him grow up. We've seen his child grow, his child growing up. And his life and things like that. There's also some other babies that got lost in the crash as well. And a whole family, a mama, a daddy, and their child. I can only imagine what they was doing in moments before they passed. I hope that everyone in that helicopter had a personal relationship with God. He's there. They're there with them. This pilot, I don't know. They say that this helicopter was one of the safest helicopters. It was a Kobe owned it. He had been in that helicopter. I don't know how many times. That's another
yeah,
thing.
But
it was
the conditions that they flew in, and where
was
there was foggy, very very foggy, to the point where police didn't even have their helicopters out. So it was just. I don't want to say anything disparaging because I don't know. I don't know what was behind this decision making. It was just a bad decision to fly the helicopter in that area that day.
Right.
When the cops
right.
don't even want to fly out because of the density
right.
of the fog because they didn't want to crash into something or crash into each other. So,
right.
but, you know, I don't know.
That's the part that don't make no sense, right? Because somebody, the pilot or somebody should have been like, Kobe, we can't go up. It's bad. You know what I mean?
Well, from what I understand, this pilot it was. I've heard from a couple of news reports where this pilot this was his thing. You know, he was used to flying in pretty much any type of conditions. So, you know, this wasn't his first time, you know, but you can only roll the dice so many times. So it's just a sad situation that those people lost their lives, and you know, it's terrible. I'm tired of death. Period. I'm living in the city of death, and then now our celebrities are dropping. You know, it's one thing when you pass from old age or from an illness, but to pass in your 40s with your kid. And
that's
other
crazy.
Kids and other people, that is just terrible.
That's,
you know,
crazy.
So and I wasn't a Kobe fan. I respected Kobe's time, but I wasn't a Kobe fan. But I respected what he did for the game. I always looked at him as the next generation's Jordan, to where
mm-hmm.
I couldn't stand Jordan. But if Jordan died in a weird way, I would probably feel some type of way too, because
of what
he stood for. What he did for the culture, what he did for the game, you know, it's Kobe is, there's never going to be another Kobe. There's always been this LeBron-Kobe comparison. LeBron is LeBron and Kobe is Kobe. And they always, you know, there's never going to be another Kobe. Whether you like him or didn't like him, what he did for the game and him as a father and how he was spending his retirement in that new phase as a dad. You know, watching the video of the night the Eagles won the Super Bowl and he's holding the baby and he's so excited for the Eagles. And just stuff like that, that where you see, you know, when you get a look at a celebrity behind the scenes when they're not on TV, when they're just chilling.
Right.
Let me tell you,
I remember 2 years ago when he made that documentary and I watched it and it was so beautiful. And I said to myself, because he also did an interview about retiring and stuff like that, I said to myself, damn, Kobe, you still young. Like, I had this feeling like this is something you like, he was before his time. That documentary, he got an Oscar for that.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, I watched it when it aired, and I thought it was just beautiful. It was just beautiful. And so when he got an Oscar, I wasn't surprised. But I remember feeling like you still young. He hadn't, at that time he wasn't even 40 yet. And this video, this documentary that he did was like it just reminded me of something like maybe Michael Jordan would do, just up in age, you know, just getting up there in age. You know, it was just, I just felt like it was before his time. But it was, I remember thinking to myself, when he gets up in age, this is going to be something. That he's already, you know, that he's already done, that he's, you know, he's just before his time, you know. And then it's a part of his legacy. Then the boy gets an Oscar for it, and then it becomes part of his legacy. Look how 2 years later he passes away, you know.
And sorry to interrupt, Janet, but I grew up a Bulls fan, Jordan. I remember when when Kobe came to the league and he wanted to emulate the same game as Jordan, I thought to myself, there will never be another Jordan. But over time and time after I keep watching, I said, Kobe is the closest thing to Jordan that this NBA is going to see. And I just, the way I want to remember him on the court, when the game was on the line, I knew he was going to get the ball. I knew in my mind he was going to get the ball.
In some way, and he kind of was a younger version. He reminded me of Jordan when he was younger. Kobe on the basketball court was gangster. Like, this dude here was relentless. If he wasn't crisscrossing, shaking you up, man, he was all over the place. He was gangster. And that rivalry between him and Shaq, it was entertaining. It had actually, like Shaq said, it actually put them in a different light and brought them closer. He learned a lot from that. So the boy was just I think to myself, and I said this before on one of the shows a couple years ago, is that if you have the opportunity in your life to be able to live, you know, what I'm trying to say, if you have the opportunity to be able to do what you was put here on this earth to do, that's a blessing. I saw basketball being his platform and having that skill set that he developed to play the way he did. I'll say this first, Hakeem. They had Whoopi Goldberg showed where she had him on The View, and these two little boys and their parents were sitting there, and these two little boys was number one Kobe fans, but they thought they was there for something else. And child, when Whoopi Goldberg brought Kobe Bryant up out, that came from the back, them two little boys started crying so hard, I broke down again. The impact and all he could do, he gave them a hug. They was just stuck. His parents was crying. Their parents was crying because their kids was crying. It was so emotional. Them kids love that boy. And that legacy of how he led his life and how he did, you know, how he treated people while he was on this earth is going to live on. It was powerful. So they, you know, they've been showing different clips from different shows. Kobe was everywhere. Even when he was, before he was retired, he was always on some type of talk show or acting or showing, you know, speaking here and showing up at colleges and stuff. He was, and Ellen DeGeneres broke down. I was like, okay, I can't. He was on her show.
Yeah.
It was a lot. Some callers.
Yeah, we got a caller. Let's bring someone in. Hello, caller. Thank you for holding. Welcome to Shoebox Talk.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I was just listening to y'all, and when I heard the news, I was on Facebook, and TMZ brought it out first. And y'all can hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, who's this?
Terrell?
Yes.
Hey, Terrell.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up, y'all?
Hey, bro.
And I know it's a dark cloud up in Philly, man, because I know he's from there. But,
yeah.
When I heard the news, it reminded me of Elijah Cummings all over again when he passed. And it was a dark cloud down here when he passed. But when I heard the news, I was on social media, and I was watching a Pro Bowl, and ESPN didn't broadcast it yet. Then when it came to halftime, that's when they broadcast it. And I'm like, oh, man, it's real then. And then my heart goes out to his family and his daughter and the other seven people that was on the plane and the pilot. But I'm going to try to speed this up. What I was hearing is that they had mechanism that can on a helicopter that, you know, that can tell the helicopter in foggy weather that if it's a mountain or anything in its way that he could go around it and it wasn't on.
Mm-hmm. I heard that.
And they said that type of helicopter is not required to have a black box. So they don't know what went on. Now, because the NTSB came and investigated and did all that stuff, and we guess we never know, but, man, shoot, I'm still hurt by that. I'm trying to play investigator because I'm in the transportation field. I'm trying to play investigator, like, what can he do, you know, why the chopper don't have a black box? They saying because the make and model is not required and things like that, and they trying to piece together, and then they said something about they heard his last transmission, the pilot's last transmission, and I'm just still shaken up by it, man.
We all are.
Yeah.
I know y'all got other callers.
And you put all that together, and you just think to yourself, it just don't make no sense. Black box or some kind of navigation equipment, regardless if that guy had skills or not, you know, that's just an example. Kobe was rushing off to this game, making sure, that he was coaching the game. He wasn't a spectator. And, you know, he had jumped in that helicopter a mini day, probably on stormy morning, and made it through. We need to slow down and pay attention to what we're doing, you know.
And he don't drive in traffic, though. He don't use the, because you know how L.A. traffic is. L.A. traffic is terrible. So he hops in a helicopter to avoid all that. Now, I can understand that. Because I know how L.A. traffic is. It's worse than D.C. in New York. That traffic is terrible over there.
Yeah.
So
he got a bunch of interviews where he talked about how it's killing him to really drive like that. It was times where he just kept caught the helicopter to go practice. You know what I mean? When he was still playing full time. They had home games in their home. That was his thing. You know, so it wasn't it wasn't nothing new for him in his helicopter. This was just a bad day, and it was, I don't know, man. It's hard to not pontificate too much without, you know, because I want to wait for the investigation to come out. You know, I don't want to say something that's going to be offensive and all that, but it's just sad. Yeah, that's the only thing I can say. It's heartbreaking.
I'm just waiting for the NTSB to finish their thing. They already finished it, though, I heard. The Transportation Safety Board, they already finished it. So I want to know what their conclusion is. But since they ain't got no black box, they really can't go off enough.
Well, and it sounds like, based on what they said so far, it sounds like because of the weather conditions, they didn't see that damn mountain. That's what it sounds like.
That's one thing. Yeah,
and right before they hit the mountain, the lady said, the lady that was doing the reporting said that when they hit the mountain, the plane was still in all together. It hadn't broke apart yet.
Mm-mm.
The helicopter.
It just looking at the video, it looked like it exploded when it hit the ground.
Right.
Yeah.
And they
say
that it
descended
so quickly. Like, when it hit that mountain, it must have knocked the power out or where he couldn't get the propeller going or whatever. It just went down like a, you know, like a, just went down like a rock straight to the ground. Boom.
Yeah,
according to them, it descended fast.
Yeah, it did. I'm looking at it now. I mean, it's just, it popped the mountain and then it just was a whirl. Imagine like a toilet flush. Swirling down, and it literally dropped like spinning rock.
But this is the last thing I'm gonna say about it. For some reason, this feels like 9/11 all over again. It's like everything at a standstill. This feels just like
9/11
over again.
Yep. Yep. Just grief. We appreciate you listening and coming in and sharing with us.
Yes, sir.
Don't be no stranger.
Okay, now today I felt like calling, so.
We appreciate it. I mean, you're welcome
to
stay on, man.
You don't have to call all the time. You can at least listen. You can listen while you're driving your bus. Don't give me that mess.
All right, Joe, I'll still be on listening.
All right.
All right, man.
All right.
Stay up.
All right.
But yeah, that's you know, we're in a dark. This is a dark, dark time for not just basketball fans, but just, you know,
sports fans across the world.
Yeah,
man, this dude here, you know, he played. I believe Kobe. They showed in other countries where they had his number up in Japan and in UK. He was loved all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hope that my prayer for him and his family, is that he made peace with his family, with his parents. I know there was a little bit of drama back in the day with his mom and stuff like that, with them not going to his wedding and stuff, not pleased with who he chose to be his wife and stuff like that. I pray that that was in his younger years, you know, in his 20s, early 30s. I pray that he did make peace with his parents, though. Because that's a hard pill to swallow. Your child, losing a child, and you and y'all was in a bad way. You got to live with that for the rest of your life. You know, that's why I say some stuff is not worth it. You know, I think that a lot of us run around here on this earth thinking, you know, when we hear stray bullets or, and I know y'all get it a lot in Philly, people, gunshots or, stabbings or whatever the case may be. A lot of times, just using that as an example, and it's all over, not just in Philly. A lot of times we run around this earth thinking that, oh, that happened to them, that can't happen to us. That what happened to Aaliyah, you know, couldn't happen to us. I know flying back home from the holidays in New York, coming back from New York, that last plane ride that I was on, coming from Newark Airport back to Texas, that I actually thought that was going to be my last flight. That plane dropped, and it was shaking nonstop. I had been in some turbulence before, but that, when the man is sitting in front of me, grown-ass man, started whining and shit and was nervous and shook and had to get up, you already know. And I was just there praying because my fear is to leave this world that way. When I think about 9/11 and those planes going into those buildings, that's the most horrible. I can think of some ways to die, but that had to be, in them planes up in the air that high, the most horrible way to go. And so I said all that to say this: all you could do is pray. And from the time we took off to the time the pilot kept coming on talking about, he apologized for the turbulence and the weather this, and we had bad weather. It was bad weather. We flew into a storm. I said, oh, this is it. And all I could do was pray. Close my eyes, sit back, and pray, because I was shook. So being in a situation like that, there's a feeling of helplessness, because there ain't nothing you can do. You can't run and hide. You can't get out and take a break or get away from the situation. Once you up there, you up there. And all I can think about is what was going through Kobe's mind at the last minute. Like, as many times as I flew up in this helicopter, doing what I got to do, this just can't be it. You know?
Yeah. But The thing is, I'll add this. I think it was a few hours after his death, and I just seen a lot of L.A. Laker fans outside the Staples Center leaving jerseys, flowers, it was like a big shrine, and they just broke down and cried. If I had it my way, even though I'm a Bulls fan, I said this is a deep hurt. And I would love to hug Kobe Bryant's wife, Vanessa, right now and say that God's still going to be with you and your three daughters. I know it's difficult, and by the way, one of my Facebook friends inboxed me, said a funeral I think is next week coming up. I honestly don't know if I want to watch it.
I know.
I can't stand to see
no grown man cry. I don't know if they're gonna televise it. What portion of it they're gonna televise?
What's that? The Kobe Bryant funeral?
Yeah.
So a Facebook friend inboxed me saying that they're talking about having a funeral next week. I said, I don't know if I want to watch it, because I've seen enough funerals. But
yeah, I'm going to watch it because it's history, and it's living history. It was hard for me to watch. Brother Terrell brought up John Lewis, and you know what? I was sitting here contemplating that. So it's like, you know what? I feel that way too, because I grew up as a John Lewis fan. And where the young people might not get it, there are some who are growing up Kobe fans, you know, and I'm older than Kobe, but I still was an admirer of his work and his skill and his tenacity and his work ethic. Just didn't like what he was doing to my Knicks. You know what I mean? So it was just like Jordan was a Knick killer. You know, I was a Patrick Ewing guy. I couldn't stand him. Like, you know, but again, you could not, when it comes to the sports, you cannot like a guy, but you respect the guy. And
yeah.
I've always had.
Check this out. This part right here. Check this out. It says that that the New York Times reported that they had special permission to fly despite the foggy conditions. They had special permission from who? According to a report from New York Times, due to inclement weather, the chopper was flying quite low. So they was down that low because of the weather, according to CNN, who reported at one point on air traffic controller, one air traffic controller informed the pilot, "You're still too low." Flight flow following at this time, meaning the chopper wasn't flying high enough to register on the radar. Wow.
No, you could see he was still the mountain he crashed to. He didn't even hit the tip. He hit the side of it. So, you know, it looks like the rudder bounced off of it. Because when they hit the mountain, it did no structural damage. The helicopter's intact until it hit the ground, you know.
Right.
But he clipped it. So it looks like he, instead of going straight up past the mountain, then take off, move left to right, front side, he was, you know, drifting over and he hit the thing. He probably didn't see it. So.
Yeah, I've seen that report. I think in a sports group I'm in, they're talking about he hit that part of the mountain and didn't know how to
wasn't able to
maintain the helicopter. And then
you can't. When you hit the rotor, the big blades, and then you're spinning out of control, it wasn't much ground. He wasn't up that high. That's the point I'm trying to make. For him to get enough control, it descended fast. He fell like a spinning rock. You know, it looks like somebody flushed a toilet and something just floating on down. It's just spinning. And it's terrible. I can't even begin. I don't want to know what they were thinking. Just imagine you're on this device that's just steady spinning. You and everybody, y'all all pinned because of the G-forces. And then it's just fire. That's it. No bang, bang, bang. Not like a car crash. I'm talking about fireball, multiple fireballs. I don't even know how there was even bodies to recover out of that thing.
Well, I will say, I think the NBA came out with yesterday that they're gonna put him in the Hall of Fame this coming summer or fall with Garnett and Duncan.
Good.
I've read that, so I love it. I saw that, so I love it. I just love it. But at the same time, it's going to be bitter because he's not making that speech of all his accomplishments from high school to the NBA. But I know a few friends of mine who are diehard Laker fans, and I talked to a friend of mine, I said, I get the feeling that they're going to have the – I get the feeling L.A. is going to be in the finals and they're going to win it now. I get that feeling.
I don't know.
But we'll see. Come playoff time. It's tough in the Western Conference, but I'll eat. But we'll see. We'll see. But Kobe was a one-of-a-kind player, and I remember his best games was against the Sacramento Kings in the playoffs, and that, to me, that was the finals. Anytime Sacramento came close to winning, here comes Kobe right back. And I just said, man, I was rooting for Sacramento that year, and I said, please let them win. But them Lakers won. I just said, man, doggone, they're going to win another championship. But I'll leave it like this. Also on TNT, they had all the former players – NBA players, and they brought out Jerry West. He was a former GM of the Lakers. he lost it. Because he was the one that swung that trade to bring Kobe to L.A. from Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me list his accomplishments before we go. He spent 20 seasons in the NBA, all with the Lakers. Four leading scores in the NBA history, 33.643 points. Five-time NBA champion, twice named Finals MVP. 18-time All-Star, 11-time All-NBA First Team, 9-time NBA All-Defensive First Team, 2-time Olympic Gold Medalist, youngest player in the NBA history at the time of his debut in 1996. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's been busy.
Yeah. He is a legend in every sense of the word. You know, he's done his thing. And it's good that he retired when he did, because, I believe he could have kept going for at least another 2-3 years. But you know when it's time to go. And you know when your knees start talking back at you, your elbow and your shoulders and your joints and your neck, and then your kids, you know, you don't want to miss that quality time. You know, so he did right. He did right.
Yeah.
So
Vanessa Bryant posted finally, "My girls and I want to thank the millions of people who've shown support and love during this horrific time. Thank you for all the prayers. We definitely need them. We are completely devastated by the sudden loss of my adoring husband, Kobe, the amazing father of our children, and my beautiful, sweet Gianna, a loving, thoughtful, and wonderful daughter, an amazing sister to Natalia, Bianca, and Capri. We are also devastated for the families who lost their loved ones on Sunday as well, and we share in their grief intimately. There aren't enough words to describe our pain right now. I take comfort in knowing that Kobe and Gigi both knew that they were so deeply loved. We were so incredibly blessed to have them in our lives. I wish they were here with us forever. They were our beautiful blessings taken from us too soon. I'm not sure what our lives hold beyond today, and it's impossible to imagine life without them. But we wake up each day trying to keep pushing, because Kobe and our baby girl Gigi are shining on us too, light the way. Our love for them is endless, and that to say immeasurable. I just wish I could hug them, kiss them, and bless them. Have them here with us forever. Thank you for sharing your joy, your grief, and your support with us. We ask that you grant us the respect and privacy we will need to navigate this new reality. To honor our Team Mamba family and Mamba Sports Foundation has set up the Mamba on 3 Fund to help support the other families affected by this tragedy. To donate, please go to mambaon3.org to further Kobe and Gianna's legacy in youth sports. Please visit mambasportsfoundation.org. Thank you so much for lifting us up in prayers and for loving Kobe and Gigi and Natalie and Brianna, Bianca, Capri, and me. Mamba, hashtag Mamba for life. That was from Kobe Bryant, Vanessa Bryant. Today.
Yeah. Well, that's heavy. And that's a lot to it's a lot to take in. And like she says, a new reality. You know, for us,
right.
Oh man, it's messed up. It's so sad. It's this. For her, it is a new reality. And I think that's something that everyone goes through. And it's sad because there's quite a few people who listen to this show from Philly who aren't listening tonight because this topic was too heavy.
Wow.
And I understood it, and I got it. One of our most loyal listeners who, you know, she just couldn't do it tonight. It's too much because she's lost too many people in her life in the last couple of years. So, and I understand that is their reality. For us, it's an experience because we're looking. And we're going through it from a visual aspect, and we're tying our emotions to the little bit we know. But what about the people who know it? You know, and before we get off, I need to address a couple of things. I'm not going to go on a tear because I was on Queen Va reality show last night. I went off. I'm not going to do that tonight.
Okay.
There's some negative.
Yeah, I was gonna say that too.
I got two gripes. Three conspiracy theorists. People who spread false information without verifying it. And negative ass people. I'm gonna start with the negative.
Mm-hmm.
You walking piles of dog shit. How dare you? CNN. Fuck you, CNN, 10 times with a rash-filled penis up your asses, no Vaseline, for you to continuously report that man's criminal history. You shall all be drug in the street and have your heads bashed in. I'm not a CNN fan. I haven't been a CNN fan in years. They've been fined too many times for reporting fake news. So for you rat bastards at CNN to talk about and showing pictures of this man being handcuffed and talking about stuff that's long dead. You're talking about a dead man whose whole family and friends and loved ones and followers are watching. And you pieces of garbage want to sit there and put that out there. Something we've been done with. Something his wife has done with. They done went from talking about his sexual assault accusations to him cheating on his wife and all. Ridiculous. You're garbage. You're absolute garbage. To the little piece of dirt who I was a friend. I followed her on Twitter. I followed her career. Who mistakenly said niggers when you said niggers. You're garbage.
That's on MSNBC.
On MSNBC, yes.
That woman,
yes,
when she said Los Angeles niggers, I said, my friend inboxed
me.
I said, what did she just say? I heard she needs to be fired.
And the sad part is I watched it in real time when she said it because I'm a huge MSNBC watcher along with C-SPAN. I'm flicking back and forth. I may peek in depending on who's broadcasting on CNN because I only got a couple people I even watch because the rest of them full of shit. But her, she just got that promotion for that time slot 2 weeks ago, and she blew it. So I hope they got you. I hope they don't fire you. I want you cleaning toilets with your toothbrush. That's what you should be doing, cleaning toilets.
And she did it on purpose?
No, she slipped her tongue. She's not going to say niggers on purpose. She slipped her tongue. But the fact of the matter is niggers is in your mind.
And what was she trying to say?
She was supposed to
say
Los Angeles Lakers. The
Lakers.
She was supposed to be in the Los Angeles Lakers, identifying. She was talking about Kobe and identifying the team he's known for, but she said the some niggers. And she tried to say that she was. She said that
if
she said, her words were, "I didn't say the N word. I said niggers. I slipped of the tongue. I was stumbling over my words." When you listen to it, it didn't sound like niggers. It sounded like niggers. And she immediately put out a tweet.
Clip.
Yeah, put it in the group, the way people can hear it, because there's a lot of people still didn't hear it. A lot of people are responding and didn't even verify. There's a new rule for social media. Someone posts something, you go double check. I don't care who it is, whether it's me
somebody
or anybody else. Because
somebody put it in my inbox, and when I heard it, it sounded like it was, to me, I said, oh, that's fake. It sounded like somebody had went over it with another voice and said the actual word nigger. I said, that's fake. So it really did happen.
Yeah, it's.
Yep.
Well, I guess she would have to use high tech to find out, and I don't know if they fired her or not. But it's crazy because I remember her being in the Carolinas covering the black issues going on there. So I always thought she was, you know, she was good. So when they promoted her up to that time slot, I said, okay, she came up. Okay, she's working her way up. And then that happens. She only had the position for 2 weeks. And I said, oh, fuck, screw you now. You need to take your ass over to CNN with the rest of the pieces of garbage. All the rest of the crap nobody wants. Rick Santorum and Anderson Cooper, little flaky ass. See, go ahead over there with the rest of them weirdos.
Well,
done.
I am not a fan of in SBCB, whatever you call it. I am a fan of CNN. So I will do some research. I haven't been watching it because I couldn't stand it no more for the last couple of days. But I'm going to look into what you're speaking of because I watch CNN. I cut
yeah,
Anderson Cooper.
Yeah, I show up at my parents' house and me and my dad, you know, I'm telling you see what happened? He said, yeah, I'm watching. And I had to train him to be a channel surfer. Don't rely on one form of news. Because when you do your research, you'll see that news companies rely on commercials. So they're not going to give you 100% everything. So
yeah, and I don't fool with Fox, not even a little bit.
No. I won't give Fox my point just for checking on them. But it's to the point to where, and I get it from their perspective, they were giving you a whole picture of his life. But he's dead. He's not under indictment. He's not arrested. He's not being impeached. He's not being selected to become judge where we need to know of anything about his history other than basketball. He loves his family, and he has millions and millions, maybe even billions of fans worldwide. That's all I need to know.
What are you talking
about his criminal history for?
This is the thing, because they wasn't the only one bringing it up. But this is the thing. They're going to – my only problem with it is it's too soon. They're going to be talking about this, Kobe, for years to come. Every good and bad thing that has happened in his life is going to be brought up. Hell, I wouldn't be surprised if some new people don't start coming, because the vultures is going to come out and try to get Vanessa's money, right? So, Kobe touched me. Kobe did. He raped me. You know, all of a sudden, all these different people going to start trying to get to have civil suits about some shit that Kobe done supposedly had allegedly done and probably paid them off, some old crazy shit, and he's not here to defend himself, right, or his legacy. So I'm expecting that. My only problem with what you're saying to me now about his past and all that kind of stuff is that it's too soon. The dude is not even in the grave. He's not even in the ground yet. You know what I'm saying? Later on, documentaries, you know, this is going to take us a while to heal from this, and we're going to be talking about it for years to come, you know. So I just feel like, you know, although we don't want to hear it, it's going to be said anyway. Some things that happened, somebody brought up about him, did something when he was younger, with some 19-year-old, and the dude told me, and he said it sounded like a young kid move, and he messed up, and they got through it. You know, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
So stuff is gonna,
yeah, who the hell didn't?
Up. I just feel like
you know?
it's too soon. It's too soon.
Yeah, I mean, when I tell you the damn plane was, the damn helicopter probably was still smoking and they were talking and stuff. I mean, it was just wasn't even a full 4 hours yet. So, all right, we're out of time. We have to sign off.
Okay. Well,
all right.
We appreciate everybody listening and calling in. And stay prayed up and tune in for next week's show. Y'all have a good night.
Good night.
Peace, y'all.